This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're rolling back on the surface of the planet Earth. A disappointment again about SLS inability to lift off because of conditions. This time it had to do with the weather. However, Bob Zimmerman is here to help us understand what to look forward to, because it's a great big rocket and it has a place in NASA's future. And the question is, when will we see it perform? Bob, a very good evening to you. The hurricane, the caution, and now the rollback. And as I recall in our last conversation, the rollback is an advantage because certain things can be corrected. But there's another thing. I think the age of the boosters that is in question, if I remember. Good evening to you, Bob.
John, your memory is impeccable. It's very correct. So NASA management, they stalled for as long as they could. But finally, over the weekend, they made a decision. Actually, it was Monday morning. They made a decision to roll the SLS rocket back to the assembly building, take it off the launch pad to protect it from Hurricane Ian, which is moving up the moving up the coast of Florida on the west side and could threaten the rocket. They were hoping to keep it on the launch pad so they could do a launch on October 2nd. That was a window they had, but they've admitted they can't do that, and so they've rolled it back to the assembly building, and you're right. This will allow them now to check and recharge the batteries to the flight termination system so that when they roll it back to the launch pad, and when it launches, if there's any really critical catastrophic failure, they can destroy the rocket before it lands on habitable land, on a city. That NASA was considering launching this with a questionable flight termination system says a great deal about NASA, but we won't press that point at the moment. You raise the other issue, which has to do with the solid rocket boosters. This is a much more difficult problem for NASA. The solid rocket, the two strap-on boosters that go with SLS, they're extended versions of the solid rocket boosters that the shuttle used to have. And in fact, they're using shuttle segments. Some of these are actually reused segments that the boosters on the shuttle used. NASA always had a use-by date of 1 year for those boosters. In other words, when you start stacking the solid rocket fuel in these tall boosters, the weight of the fuel can press down on the bottom. And there was always concern it would distort the shape of the solid rocket fuel. Now, this is a firecracker. You light it, it burns until it runs out of fuel. You have no control over it. So the way the fuel is placed inside the booster is critical in how it controls its burn. And the worry always was that if it sits in a vertical position for too long, the solid rocket fuel will get distorted and might not burn correctly, which means you could have a disaster during launch. Well, NASA for the SLS decided to abandon these rules, or at least ignore them. Those solid rocket boosters have now been stacked for 2 years. The stacking began in November of 20, and they've been stacked now all of 21 and most of 22, and there's a real question, are these going to burn correctly? Now, it's very possible NASA's rules here were very conservative, and so they had plenty of margin, but it does raise questions, and if they do decide to replace the boosters, that's at least a 3 to 6 month delay, probably longer, because they got to tear those boosters down, and then they got to put a stack of new solid rocket boosters up. And I think 6 months is a minimum delay, maybe less, but I think 6 months. So I don't know what the NASA is going to do. This is all, they're faced with no good choices here because of basically the impractical and inefficient design of this rocket. The rocket was basically designed by Congress. You used to joke and call it the Senate launch system, John. They demanded that NASA use shuttle parts to build it, with the false hope that would save money and speed development. Of course, it did neither of those things, but it did saddle NASA with a rocket that is very difficult to use, is very finicky, and not very practical or efficient. And that's the problem they've got. So I don't know what they're going to do. They'll probably try to launch with these solid rocket boosters, and let's just keep our fingers crossed. Personally, I think the bigger risk is to the next flight, because even if this flight goes well, this test, unmanned test flight, they're going to go with a manned flight on the next launch of SLS, and I would not consider this rocket ready for people, not at all. So I would be very afraid more lives are going to be lost.
Japanese Private enterprise, commercial space, astroscale, signing a deal with Bob. How many companies are here that in the UK they signed with? This is wonderful.
Yes. Astroscale is a Japanese-based company. It has subsidiaries in a number of other countries, including the UK. And they signed a deal with the UK Space Agency to partner with a whole bunch of UK companies, space companies, to develop a mission to deorbit two defunct orbiting satellites. Astroscale's main business that they've been pushing is a magnetic capture device that they want satellite companies to attach to their satellites. And Astroscale then has a robotic satellite it launches that rendezvous with the satellite, with the capture device, and uses the capture device to grab the satellite and then deorbit the satellite. And so they've now partnered with the UK and all these UK companies to do this test mission to bring down two satellites that are now defunct. And there's other deals that are going on here as well. So UK is very much into trying to do the same thing the U.S. has. It has a space program, but its program is basically to hire private companies, as many as possible, and encourage their development so that the private enterprise is what accomplishes things, not the government. And that's what this is part of, John. They hope to have this done, sometime in the next, before the end of this decade. It could be sooner than that.
ESA, European Space Agency, hires Astrobotic. What is Astrobotic?
Astrobotic is one of the private American companies that is building lunar landers and selling payloads to NASA and others. Well, so their first big mission, they're launching their Griffin lander. This is their first. This is going to be their second launch to the lunar lander, but it's their first time for the Griffin lander. It's a big one, and it's carrying NASA's Viper rover to the moon. However, there's payload space on board, and so Astrobotic went to European Space Agency and said, "You want to buy some space?" And so ESA said, "Yes, we'll buy some space." And so they're going to put on their own camera on this lunar lander, and it's actually going to be a commercially produced camera. So ESA is hiring a private company to make the camera, and then they're paying to put the camera on the Griffin lander that Astrobotic's got. And this is all part of the same pattern, John, where the government wants to do things, but it's hiring private companies to design and build it for them and own it and then make profit from it. And so that everyone benefits in that situation.
Now to the subcontinent, India commercial space, Agnikul Cosmos with a rocket that they built themselves, Bob. Is this Agnabon? Is that their rocket?
That's their rocket, Agnabon. The company is called Agnikul, Indian words. They are a small sat rocket startup. This is comparable to Rocket Lab in the United States or Astra or Firefly. And they're hoping to complete their first launch of the Agnabon rocket by the end of 2022. The important thing about this company is its existence in India. India's government up to now, its space bureaucracy and ISRO and its new commercial arm, ENSIL, government commercial arm, has controlled all of that country's commercial market share in space for decades. And like NASA in the early aughts, that bureaucracy has worked aggressively to keep independent players out. They created ENSIL specifically to create a commercial arm in the government bureaucracy that would take the business so the private enterprise would not be able to take control. Well, Agnikul's existence and the fact that they've raised independent investment capital, and they hope to do a launch by the end of the year, suggests that the Modi government's effort to emulate the U.S. and create independent private companies might be beginning to bear fruit. We have to wait and see, but this is an independent rocket company in India that has nothing to do with its government agencies, John, and that's a good thing.
And now Voyager Space with Azerbaijan. I like this, Bob, because I've visited Azerbaijan's space efforts. They have a couple of satellites up. What is Voyager Space?
Voyager Space is a subsidiary of NanoRax. Now, NanoRax is a company you might have heard of. They've been putting private payloads on ISS for many years. They have a contract to build their Starlab private space station. And what NanoRax has done is it's created Voyager Space to handle the Starlab space station. This is one of the five private stations that are being built, four of which have contracts with NASA. Well, then Voyager Space has now signed a deal with Azerbaijan And it's sort of a vague deal, but it's essentially saying that they'll cooperate. What it really means is that Azerbaijan is, and its space agency is probably going to pay Voyager Space, Nanorax, money for research space on the Starlab station when it's built. And this is part of the whole deal with the private companies owning their space stations. They can not only do work for NASA, but they can also sell out space to others and make money from their work. And that only encourages development and growth. And so, and Azerbaijan is doing the same thing. They buy space here. They get research done. They encourage their own industries and own space industry to grow, John.
NASA and ESA, a simple, straightforward, you describe an exploration agreement. To do what, Bob? To deal with the Chinese and Russian claims?
No, I'm not. This is one of those weird, interesting political documents. It's only a one-page agreement, which they did not release. So all we have is a photograph of it from a distance. But it's a so-called agreement, lunar exploration agreement between NASA and the European Space Agency. And it was signed only about a week ago. And I think the reason this agreement, this one-pager was signed, was just simply to deal. This is how I interpret it: that the European Space Agency has not signed the Artemis Accords, which NASA has supposedly said you have to sign if you want to partner in the Artemis project. But European Space Agency has major components that it's building for the Artemis program. And since not every member of ESA has signed the Artemis Accords, there's kind of a problem here. How do you get ESA working on Artemis if it's not all law signed into the Artemis Accords? And I think this little one-pager is basically their attempt to say, okay, it's all right for ESA to do Artemis projects, even if it's not all its partners are not part of Artemis Accords. And that's how I look at it. I mean, it doesn't really mean that much, other than the fact that it suggests possibly the Biden administration is easing the requirement to sign the Artemis Accords for European countries.
The Federalist publication has published a piece of your book, Conscious Choice, Bob. They entitled the excerpt, "When Settling Space, Future Colonists Should Emulate the Pilgrims." Why so, Bob? Why does that work?
The whole point of Conscious Choice was to look back at the early colonies of the United States to see what worked and what didn't. And some colonies were remarkably successful. This was the Puritan and Pilgrim colonies, the north part, northern colonies. Incredibly successful. And some were utter failures, such as Virginia and the southern colonies, which developed slavery. And so I looked at that, and then based on that history, I could then lay out reasons and goals and how to build colonies in other worlds. And that's the excerpt they quoted on the Federalist from Conscious Choice. And the basic idea is the Pilgrims focused on families, and more than anything else, those colonies were not exploring new worlds, going where no one ever went before. No. Those colonies were focused on building a society where they could raise children properly. The goal is raising kids for the next generation. And that's the main point of Conscious Choice, I think, above all. If you're going to build a colony on Mars, you should be building that colony to create a place where you can raise children properly so that they will have a happy future. And if you keep that in mind, you'll build a colony where people, where generations will prosper.
And Bob, calling on our science fiction reading, the children born on Mars will be able to adjust to that gravity in a profound way. And
well, we don't know. We're going to find out someday. This is one of the mysteries of everything here. We just do not know. You know, giving birth in weightlessness or in a different gravity, who knows what the possibility. There could actually be very serious consequences there, which might prevent the exploration of other worlds. We just don't know these things. But assuming, and we're going to do it, there's going to be colonies in other worlds, despite these unknowns. One of the things you got to do is you got to recognize you build a society properly. Even if the gravity makes a medical change, you still have to build your society correctly.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.